This is the English translation of Pastor Grace Jiang's message, The Positions and Opportunities of End Time Churches, number 6. So today we will continue on the positions and opportunities of end time churches. Let's read Acts chapter 1 verse 6 to 8. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Okay, so when Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection for 40 days, he has been talking about one thing. So he kept talking to them about the kingdom of God. He kept saying that because the kingdom of God was too unfamiliar to them. Jesus talked to them about the kingdom of God and then told them to wait until they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. However, in verse 6, they asked Jesus, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel now? So from this question, you can see that the disciples and Jesus were never on the same page. Jesus has been talking about the kingdom of God, but all they cared about was the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. Many Christians are also like this. All we care is the earthly stuff. We care about my country, my society, where I live, my family, my job, my kids, and that's all what we care. When will the revival come to my family? So of course you should care for your family, but God says you must enter the kingdom of God first. Once you know the kingdom of God, your family will change. When God's kingdom comes to your family will have a revival. So when they just kept asking about the restoration of the kingdom of Israel, Jesus replied, It's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Jesus is telling them that you don't need to keep thinking about when will the kingdom of Israel be restored. You should instead focus on waiting. Waiting for the baptism from the Holy Spirit, because you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you will be Jesus' witnesses from Jerusalem and to the end of the earth. So when we talk about the revival of end time churches to be like early churches or be even greater than early churches, we need to remember the most important thing. It is to become Jesus' witnesses. So we are supposed to testify, be the witnesses of this only true God. He knows us, he understands us, and he loves us. And he loves us so much that he came down to the earth. He wants to bring you the true happiness, and he wants to bring you the true blessings. And this is the witnesses and testimony that we should be sharing, to testify how great his love is. So later on in chapter 2, as soon as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they start preaching and sharing right away. As they were sharing, they decided to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Dear families, let's think about this. Nowadays, many churches are not talking about this anymore. We talk about so many things, but we do not talk about Jesus Christ and him crucified. You can learn a lot of things like missionary strategies, how to pray for healing, cast out demons, how to lead small groups, blah, blah, blah. You can learn a lot of stuff and many strategies, but are we always thinking about Jesus Christ and him crucified? The deviation from this foundation is the source of all weaknesses in churches. While the reason why early churches were always filled with the mighty power of Holy Spirit is because the truth of Jesus Christ and him crucified became alive in them. This made their lifestyle, services, and ministry full of the mighty power from the Holy Spirit. Therefore, God is planning to restore the true knowledge of him in the end time churches. A couple years ago, some prophets prophesied that we will see our God in the movie theater. Later on, indeed, the movie The Passion of the Christ was released in 2004. Early on, many commentators thought that no one would go to see such a religious movie, considering how liberal the United States has become nowadays. But God's plan is that he will restore the majestic glory of end-time churches, so people have to know him and know Jesus' sacrificial love. Since no one is coming to church nor reading Bible nowadays, God decided to show up in movie theater. And it turns out the movie became the fifth highest grossing film of 2004 internationally. The movie was so popular, and you can see that God indeed has the way. and his story is supposed to be the most popular of all time. Yet the problem is that Christians nowadays have nothing to talk about when it comes to Jesus Christ and him crucified. Such a pity. People come to church for gospel, and gospel means good news. So what is the good news? The good news is him. The only beloved Son of God came to flesh on earth. It's miraculous. So why did he come? He came to demonstrate a lifestyle. He demonstrates God's mercy and grace. He demonstrates God's plan and purposes of creation, and he demonstrated how glorious our life on earth can be. We are supposed to be glorious and majestic, not pitiful or miserable. The one and only Son, who himself is God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Because whoever sees Jesus has seen the Father. And Jesus came because many people thought that our God is very distant and fearful. Even though our Abba Father kept telling you that you are his beloved and in you he is well pleased, but many people still live in their old mindset. And that's why Jesus came to earth and demonstrates God's passion to us. So while on this topic, I really know that God has chosen us to be an apostolic church. He will raise up more and more apostolic churches all over the world, as this is the due position of end time churches. And this also reminds me one church that is the most similar to early churches, or the churches in Jerusalem and Antioch, which is the Moravian Brethren. So last time I mentioned that this church is composed of people from different denominations. They gathered because they were persecuted, but since they were all very devout to their own religious background, they all insist their own customs and views in the beginning. Yet one day their leader asked them, "Are you willing to commit and surrender yourself to God like I do?" You can pray like this: "Dear God, I'm willing to give myself to you like this, and I'm willing to live like you do. I will faithfully serve in the position you have called me to without emphasizing our differences anymore." After they start doing this and have everyone's eyes focused solely on Jesus rather than their previous denomination, they began to unite it and pray in unity. After their united prayer, the Holy Spirit came upon them and God revealed himself to them. When the Holy Spirit baptized them, everyone felt that Jesus was so close to them, and they all felt that Jesus was like a lamb led to the slaughter, as described in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 12. And this verse became their testimony, their motivation for preaching the gospel, and their passion. So let's read it together. "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." Amen. So 700 years before Jesus was born, God prophesied to Isaiah that someone would come to the earth. This person would pour out his life to the point of death, be numbered among the criminals, bear the sins of many, and make intercessions for the sinners. This person would come to be your salvation. And the Moravian Brethren experienced God's revelation in this through the Holy Spirit, and they encountered Jesus himself. Since then, this became the most important thing in their lives, that we should offer up our lives and sacrifice our lives to let people know this loving God. The most important purpose of my life is to introduce people to Jesus, who poured out his life for me on the cross. And this became the only thing they always wanted to preach. As a result, the impact of the gospel they preached in 20 years was so great that it was equivalent to the missionary work of all the evangelical churches combined for two centuries. They spread the gospel through Europe and then to North America, Asia, and Africa. Note that this church had only about 300 people, so it's not a huge church. Actually, since many years ago, I always feel that our church is similar to this Moravian church. Of course, there are many other churches like this, but I feel that what God is doing among us is very similar to what the Moravian church experienced. Yet today, I want to highlight the great motivation of this church, which I don't think our church has yet. That is, Jesus Christ and him crucified truly came alive in each and every one of them. So their leader, Mr. von Zinzendorf, was truly chosen by God. Before his father passed away, he dedicated this baby to God. At that time, von Zinzendorf was only 6 weeks old, and his father prayed, God, please use this child to serve you throughout his life. You know, God really remembers every parent who dedicate their child to them, and God to him, and God truly delights in such prayers. Therefore, this child was very special. When he was just 4 years old, he said to God, God, I want to belong to you completely. I want to be completely yours. Then when he was 12 years old, he started a fellowship in school. Everyone in this fellowship carried a badge, and the badge said, Behold, the Son of Man, by his stripes we are healed. So they put that on their badges so that people always take notice and say, Behold, the Son of Man, by his stripes we are healed. There is someone who suffered the stripes for you, so that you may be healed, spirit, soul, and body. Dear families, we have many testimonies of healing among us. It's not because we are pious, but because this man suffered the stripes for us, Jesus Christ. It's he who completed our salvation. And all these happens when he was 12. And this is very relevant to our youth among us as well. And each member of the fellowship also wears a ring with the words, We don't live for ourselves. And they wear a badge that says, Behold, the Son of Man, by his stripes we are healed. Also, at an age of 12, he says, Jesus, you are my only desire. Dear families, this is where the model of our church comes from. Jesus, my only passion. So I hope that this will become our daily prayer, that the Holy Spirit will ignite the same fire in us and let that kind of love become our reality. Jesus, my only passion. Then Mr. von Zinzendorf has established 7 prayer groups in his school at an age of 16. After he graduated from college, he went on a trip and saw an art exhibition. He was drawn to the painting of Jesus wearing a crown of thorns and covered in blood. Underneath the painting, it says, I did this for you. What will you do for me? So he was continuously drawn to that painting, and then he said, Lord, I only have one purpose in this life, and that is to live for you. My only purpose in this life is to live solely for you. Later on, God chose von Zinzendorf to lead the Moravian Brethren. The Moravian Brethren always talk about Jesus. Either in their sermons or fellowship, they always talk about how Jesus suffered for them, how Jesus was nailed on the cross for them, and what Jesus has done for them. This is their only topic. And that topic transformed their thoughts, their wealth and emotions. So one time, John Wesley and Charles Wesley, the ministers of the Church of England, came to America to preach to the Indians. They met the brothers from Moravian Brethren on the ship, and they noticed a special quality about these German Christians. He found that every one of them was willing to do humble and lowly work for others with great joy. He said that these were the things that we Englishmen look down upon doing. And they tried to thank them, but they wouldn't accept any gratitude or reward for what they did. So he asked them, Why are you willing to do such things? Do such humble things that you don't need to do, willingly serving so many people on the ship. Sometimes there were big waves, and it almost seemed like the sea was about to engulf the ship, and the mass of the ship was falling. But even in this situation, they are still serving others. So John Wesley thus asked them, Why are you willing to do these humble things? Then they replied, Because it satisfies our self-esteem. Dear families, do you get that? They said this satisfies our self-esteem, which is very different from the self-esteem of the world. The self-esteem of the world is about status, the position, and I don't want to do this menial or humble work. But they see that our God is a God who poured out his life. And when God came to the world, he came to serve people. So they feel that they can also serve others in this way, and this is their self-esteem. The humble serving makes them more united with our God. So they said this satisfied their self-esteem. Dear families, we really need to meditate on Isaiah 53 verse 12 more, as it will save us from all our inferiority complex. Many of these feelings come from the value of the world, which brings us a lot of self-doubt and harm. To combat this, we need to understand the values of God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, the fact that I can serve others in such a humble way is my most noble status and position. And that's why they say, this satisfies my self-esteem, and they don't need any rewards, gratitudes, or repayment. Since then, John Wesley paid special attention to this group of German people. One time when these German Christians were singing hymns and praising God, suddenly a big wave came and flooded the whole ship, causing the mast to fall and shatter into pieces. The British men were screaming and shouting, but these Germans were all calm, continuing to pray, praise, and worship. John Wesley thus asked them, "Aren't you afraid?" They replied, "Praise the Lord, we are not afraid at all." He then continued, "What about your woman and children? This water will surely take all our lives." But they replied, "No, our women and children are not afraid of death either." And this made John Wesley very impressed. Sometimes he saw some people on the boat who, seeing how devout they were in prayer and worship, would push them to the ground. But he said that because this group of people seemed to have Jesus alive in them, they were so humble and gentle. Their only focus is that our Savior Jesus has done so much for us, so their humility and gentleness could not be changed by anything. Even if someone pushed them down without cause or treated them rudely and threw them to the ground, they would just get up and walk away without any complaint. In other words, they had already surpassed pride, anger, and revenge. So when John Wesley saw them, he was truly moved and shocked. In his journal, he wrote that he had gone to America to help the Native Americans to repent and turn to God. But who could help him repent and turn to God? Who could save him from this unbelieving and evil heart? Seeing them, he realized that he didn't truly trust or know his Savior, Jesus Christ. He wrote, "All I have is a religion in prosperous times. I can talk about it, and I believe what I say. When there is no danger around, I can talk about this faith fluently. But if death approaches me, my spirit will be troubled. I cannot proclaim that death is victory." This experience brought a tremendous change in John Wesley's life. It's a great spiritual rebirth. Even though he was already a minister, seeing those who truly knew Jesus Christ still brought a great transformation in his life. So I believe the reason why the Moravian Brethren can spread the gospel so widely is because they always emphasize how Jesus Christ poured out his life for others. He lived on earth to serve people. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he interceded for the transgressors. He was numbered and treated as a transgressor so he can take away their sins. This was the life of Jesus. They said, "My Lord has done so much for me, so my only purpose on earth is to bear witness to him. Through my life and my testimony, I bear witness to him." That's why they were able to bring out such great power of the gospel. So there's actually a story behind their first evangelical outreach. Once Mr. von Zinzendorf attended the coronation ceremony of a Danish king, and he met a nobleman there. This nobleman brought a black slave with him, and von Zinzendorf had a conversation with the slave. He learned that on the Indian island, there were many slaves living in terrible conditions and facing even worse fate. After he returned to his place, he started telling people about this island with many slaves and what they were going through. Then two brothers were deeply moved by the story and decided to go to the island to share the gospel with these slaves. They tried various methods to enter the colony in the West Indies, which was a colony of another country at that time. But they were so determined that they said if they couldn't get into the colony, they are willing to be sold as slaves so that they could get closer to these poor souls. Dear families, this is what Paul said. It's the love of Christ that inspires me. It makes us live no longer for ourselves, but for the Lord who died for us. They know the suffering and pain of the slaves, but they were still willing to be sold into slavery, so they can bring the gospel to these suffering people. Where does this love come from? It's what Isaiah chapter 53 says. He was numbered as a criminal to bear the sins of many. The word bearing means to take away, to remove. Jesus became a criminal to take away and remove the sin of criminals. So who are those criminals? the criminals is us. We were supposed to die in our sins and trespasses. Therefore, Jesus willingly became a criminal and took all our sins upon himself. He was made a curse for us and died on the cross, so we can now be free from the curse of sin. The reason why we can be blessed and why our prayer is effective is all because Jesus' death on the cross removed the curse of sin. Dear families, this is the grace that we have received. And the reason why churches exist, as the Moravian understood it, is to bear witnesses, to proclaim and to bring these people back to Jesus, the one who gave himself up and shed blood for us. That's the only purpose of the church existence, is to lead people to truly know Jesus. So they were so devoted to a point that one in every 58 people in their church became a missionary. Statistically, that means for every believer in their church, they can save more than 2 non-believers abroad. The ratio is amazing. You can see how successful their overseas missionary work is. And the reason for that success is because the sacrificial love of Jesus inspired them. For example, there was a Native American who used to be a very fierce person. Some missionaries came to preach to him in the past, but he sent them away. One day, a Moravian brother came to him, sat down next to him, and spoke to him. The first thing he said was, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven and earth." So he told him that this Lord of heaven and earth knows him very well, and he is willing to save him from his current miserable situation. To achieve this, he became a human being and came to this world for humanity, gave up his life, shed his precious blood on the cross for you and me, and save us from sin and to enter his riches, and so on. While he was speaking, he gradually fell asleep because he had traveled a very long distance to preach the gospel to him. He was exhausted, so before he finished speaking, he fell asleep on the floor. Then the native was baffled. "What kind of person is he that he just fell asleep here? I could just easily kill him and no one would care. How come is he so careless and just sleeping like this?" In the meanwhile, the Moravian brother's words kept ringing in his mind. "There is a Lord of heaven and earth and who knows you very well, and he's willing to set you free." These words continued to repeat in his mind, and he could not shake them off. That night, the Native American had a dream. He saw Jesus shedding his precious blood for him, and he thought it was very strange. But with the words and the dream, he began to believe in Jesus. He started to preach the message of the Lord of heaven and earth, who knows and loves us and is willing to release us from all our problems and miserable lives. He began to share this message with his tribe and became a co-worker of the Moravian Brethren's missions. So dear families, we really need to go preach the gospel. This Native American, he said that if you want to preach the gospel to non-believers, you must preach about Jesus Christ. Preach about his precious blood and his death. In other words, you cannot argue with the theories and say, "There is a God." If so, they will reply, "So what?" We need to preach about Jesus, his precious blood and death on the cross. So the Moravian Brethren just kept preaching, and they reached so many people in such a short period of time. Why? Because the ones who did not become missionaries kept praying for the missionaries. Their prayers kept Jesus' love and presence around them. Once they went to St. Thomas Island, where black people live, to preach the gospel. There was a missionary named Martin who was the first Moravian there, and he was imprisoned for 3 months for preaching the gospel. Life in prison was miserable. However, the 700 believers he had converted gathered near the prison and sang hymns and prayed outside. He continued to preach to them across the prison wall. One time, their leader, von Zinzendorf, also made his first missionary trip during that time. He came to the island with 2 couples to offer comfort and support to the tireless workers and imprisoned missionaries. As they approached the island, von Zinzendorf said to his fellow worker, "What shall we do if we cannot find anyone there? What if all the missionaries have died?" Then the young co-worker calmly replied, "Here we are. Even if they all die, we will continue." Hearing this, Mr. von Zinzendorf declared, "So this is an eternal race for us Moravian believers. Even though more than 50 fellow workers have given their lives, we will have our 51st co-worker there." Also, this guy Martin, he served there for 14 years. Once he wrote back to Germany saying that the St. Thomas Island was a more powerful miracle compared to Hernand, their gathering place in Germany. Dear families, do you know that serving, preaching for, suffering, and dying for God can really bring great joy in our spirit? He said that even though there were many miracles among us when we gathered in Hernand, the time he spent in St. Thomas Island were filled with even more signs and wonders. Then on the 14th year of Martin's tireless serving, just before he passed away, he told his wife, "My dear, I may soon go to see my Lord, but you must always rejoice in him. For me, this is truly incomparably good." Dear family, it's Christ's love that inspires us and motivates us to preach. This kind of preaching is truly living in his love, the service of a true bride. A true bride sees dying in battles of his, as if jumping into Jesus' embrace, which is so enjoyable and satisfying. God has given our church abundant grace, and I feel that now is the time for us to become a missionary church. An end-time church, an apostolic church, must also be a missionary church. The fields are wide and ready to harvest. We are now have more and more invitations from different places. In the documentary video of our past three conferences, you can see that people run into the venue because it was very crowded. They arrived 2 hours early, waiting to in line to enter. And we really appreciate all the intercessions from you guys who pray, who stay. God really values your intercession, your faithful labor in prayer, and we all evangelizing together in spirit. I heard that some couples brought their children to attend all the prayer sessions. Some people also told me that through their intensive prayer, they began to feel the anointing of intercession, an apostolic anointing coming upon them. Many people also said that God woke them up in the middle of the night to pray, knowing that the battle is very intense. There are still many places that need to be reached, and I hope that our brothers and sisters can go out one team after another. So, for example, last time one of the small group went to UC Davis to preach to their student fellowship group, and they wrote a thank you letter to us. They told us that the people in our churches are now living stones, no longer just hard rock. I really hope that our members can take hold of the opportunities to be equipped and trained, because we really don't know how much time we still have. Take Pastor Rao Tu Shumei from the Down Gospel Drug Rehab Center as an example. Once she went to Chicago to visit an imprisoned drug addict. On her way back, she was too tired, so she fell asleep in the car and she didn't fasten her seatbelt. The car suddenly slipped and crashed, and she was thrown out from the car and passed away. They said that she was unharmed and was smiling when she died, so it must be Jesus coming to take her away. Whenever I think of her, I really thank and praise the Lord for her, because she was truly faithful in love, faithful in giving, and faithful in serving while she was on earth. She served so many drug addicts, preaching the gospel to them and living with them day and night. Many scholars do research to study how to help the drug addicts. Some even get 2 degrees for this. But he said, "I have obtained 2 degrees to study how to help people quit drugs, but so far no one has quit. You have not studied nor did any research, but you helped so many people quit drugs." This is what it said in Romans chapter 1. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That's why Paul said that he is not ashamed of the gospel. This gospel is about how God loves us so much that he was willing to come to earth in flesh and die for us, so that he could ascend to heaven and send the Holy Spirit to live with us. Otherwise, we sinners would be forever separated from God. But by becoming flesh and dying on the cross to bear our sins and transgressions, and becoming a curse for us, the curse of sin was removed, and he could then come and dwell within us. Through him, we are able to live out the likeness of the Son of God, to live out his dignity, glory, authority, and power. So, dear families, do you know how precious you are? Jesus redeemed you with his blood, and that's how precious you are. You need to keep remembering that Jesus has taken away your sin, and you are no longer a slave to sin. You don't need to accept the accusation and condemnation from the enemy anymore. And Jesus wants you to live for him, because he died for us, so that those who live shall no longer live for themselves. So on the one hand, I hope that everyone will seize every opportunity to equip themselves, ourselves. On the other hand, if you have already received some training, I hope that you can ask the Lord which short-term mission trips you should join. If you join a short-term mission trip, you should attend at least 3 gatherings: our weekly services, the whole church prayer meeting, and the small group gathering. You must at least attend these 3 gatherings, and it would be even better if you can also come to the intercession training, because everyone will approach you and hope that you can pray for them, so you need to have intercession training. Also, some teenagers in our neighborhood recently have broken into our bookstores or cars, stealing computers or damaging things in the church. I feel that God is speaking to us through this mishap. My impression is that God says if we are not actively working to win this land and these possessions, our possessions will be stolen. In other words, when the teenagers in our neighborhood come to our playground, when they are skateboarding and doing other stuff, it's God calling us to introduce Jesus to them. If we do not work to win this possession, our possession will be stolen and destroyed. So yesterday, I led everyone to repent and pray together for this matter. Note that I say these to the single brothers, sisters, and youth among us. You speak fluent English much, much better than us. Did God not make you speak English so well for no reason? God made you able to listen and speak English fluently for such a time like this, right? If I try to share gospel with these kids, they might say, "What are you talking about? I don't understand." And when they say something to us, we just keep asking, "Pardon me?" You know what I mean? It's only you, the singles and the youth, have such a position. God gave you English skills and your youthful days. You are all young and you can best understand what they think and what they like. You can make friends and share gospel with them. God did not send you to the islands of slaves to share gospel, but now God sends you to share the gospel with them. Is that difficult? So dear families, Jesus said he came to serve people. Therefore, when we come to the gathering just to worship, dance, sing, listen to preaching, and feel some Holy Spirit's outpouring, we won't experience his presence deeply. Because Jesus said, "I came to serve people." So only when we go to serve others with the love of Jesus, we will experience the deepest presence of God. Sometimes we Chinese people are more shy and introverted. When we meet some very lively American youth, we sometimes don't know how to talk to them. I think our youth shall be fine, because your classmates are all like that, right? You know how to play with your classmates. You can just play with them and bring some snacks and share with them. Remember, always make friends with them first, but you also need to keep praying for them, asking the Lord, "When can I start preaching gospel?" Maybe you can start by sharing your story or testimony. You know, there's a Lord of heaven and earth who knows you very well. He understands you very well, and he loves you very much. Then you can share more and more. At first, we all may feel a bit shy, but we have to try. Don't fear the rejection. It's very possible that when you first try to make friends with them, maybe even share some snacks with them, but they still ignore you. It's okay. Just think this satisfies your self-esteem. You should think like this, that this satisfies your self-esteem. Because Jesus was despised and rejected on earth too. Jesus was treated this way on earth, so I have such an opportunity to be despised a little bit. That's awesome. And it satisfies my self-esteem. We really should have a kingdom perspective, a kingdom lifestyle and passion, because my king died for me and my king died for our neighbors. So I must bring them to Jesus and let them know how much Jesus loved them. In other words, we cannot stay in our selfish pursuit. Since last year, God has been training us to break free from selfish pursuit and selfish service. And that's why when we pray for others, our own sickness gets healed. God has been leading us in this way. Among us, there are two cases of nasopharyngeal cancer. One is in stage 2 and the other is in terminal stage. The patient in terminal stage has received chemotherapy and was told that there was nothing more can be done. But these two patients have faithfully attended our meetings, every prayer meetings, every week's harp and bowl, wait upon the Lord and prayer meetings. They keep praying for others, and they also pray for our overseas mission. Now the doctor said they were completely cured. Hallelujah! Therefore, their families, we must go beyond our selfish pursuit. They didn't just say that, oh, I'm a cancer patient, so you should care about me and pray for me. Instead, they were constantly praying for others. In our meetings, we can often hear their prayers, worship, and thanksgiving to God. So God really wants us to go beyond our selfish pursuit. For example, people only serve for our love feast once every 3 months. After the meal, they have to clean up. Maybe you really want to attend some training, but it's my turn to serve everyone this time. So I will serve everyone well and do the cleanup well. Also, some people want to linger more to have more God's presence during the altar call. But they have to go pick up their kids. If you don't go pick them up, it becomes a burden to the Sunday school teachers as they cannot leave. So you can pray like this. Lord, I really don't want to leave your presence, so may you please go with me. If you pray so, God's presence will really follow you. So, always put Jesus at the center in everything you do. Strive to know His love and dwell in His presence, and then we should go serve others. Remember that the goal of all our pursuit is to serve. Yet know that there are some people who just like to be busy, but they don't like to be equipped or to pursue the Lord. They just like to be busy with service. That's a separate thing. Such people need to quiet down and draw near to the Lord, pursue Him, and let God's presence equip them. Then, with all the training, they can serve not out of their own zeal, but out of the Spirit, and that's what God wants. For example, sometimes we need to take turns to babysit the kids while others receive the training. You might feel that it's a pity that I have to miss a lesson, but it's okay. You can say, Lord, I don't want to go, but I need to take my turn to take care of the kids. So Lord, please go with me, and please have your presence with me when I take care of the kids. If you have that heart posture, God will surely be with you greatly. Dear families, it's all about our heart. My heart is to unite with our God, but what kind of God is He? He poured out His life, meaning that He is a selfless God. He is a serving God, and He is filled with the servant spirit. Therefore, we have to constantly remind ourselves, Jesus, the King of heaven and earth, has come to earth and is willing to be a servant of sinners, so I am willing to be a servant as well. Therefore, we strive to pursue Him with all my might whenever we can. However, when there is a chance or need to serve, I am willing to be a servant of all. This way, Jesus can have the fruit of His labor. I know that God really wants our entire church to become a missionary church. We first live in the love of God, and then we evangelize locally and internationally. For example, there was one church where God spoke to the entire congregation and asked each one of them to spend a few days each year in missionary work. And they really followed. Every member started to go on short-term mission trips every year. After they returned, some of them were completely transformed, and they were so glad that they had gone on these trips and want to continue. I believe the same thing will happen in our church. We live only for Him, for the Lord who loves us. We live to know Him more, to live in His love, to be equipped, and then to evangelize. Also, dear families, local missions are as important as foreign missions. So shall we pray together? Jesus, we will obtain our neighbors, especially those youth in our neighborhood who come to play here. Let's not find it troublesome. Yesterday, one of our sisters prayed and repented, saying, Lord, forgive me, I didn't love them. When they came, I was monitoring them and seeing what they would do. I was deeply moved by her honest confession and repentance, and I also repented. Lord, we haven't loved them with your passionate love. So God really speaks to us through these things. Without his permission, nothing of ours can be stolen. He allows our stuff to be stolen because we did not actively seek to win the inheritance. If we don't seek the inheritance, we will lose the inheritance. Dear God, we pray that our entire church will become a missionary church, a church that pours out our life like you, willing to sacrifice and serve others. Let's go beyond selfish pursuit and selfish service and pour out more and more just like you. Lastly, when we go on short-term mission, it's not because we can have chance to preach or serve. Instead, we go on short-term missions because we want to share Abba Father's love for them and lead them to a passionate love for Jesus. It's not because I naturally like to preach or do things. Whether I have the chance to serve or preach is not the point. I go to help them know Jesus' love more deeply so that they can love Jesus passionately and satisfies his heart. And for those who haven't gone for the mission trip, stay active in receiving intercession training and praying more. This also counts as evangelizing. When God thinks you are equipped, he will send you. Every day we prepare ourselves to be a ready vessel. Alright, so let's sing this song, The Fire of Revival, together. Are you willing to respond to him and say, God, I really don't know your love on the cross. God, I pray that you will release the fire of your love on the cross of Calvary in me today. Release the passion of the cross into my heart so that I may live no longer for myself. May the self-sacrificing fire burn in me. Set a brave fire of love like the Moravian brothers in me. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.